speaks about, you know, the pressures of life, the trials of life, the tribulation, the temptation, the manifold temptations and the diverse temptations that we go through. And James is just a book that helps us to get through what we go through. Amen. Dr. James knew that these days would come by the unction of the Holy Ghost. So he wrote to us. He wrote to us so that we would have some encouragement along the way. Amen. Verse 7. If you have it, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Chapter 5, verse number 7 says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and had long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against the other, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of the suffering, of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. And I want to give you the thought this morning. It's just two words. Just wait. Amen. Look at your neighbor and just tell your neighbor, neighbor, I don't know what you're enduring, but just wait. Amen. Just wait. The book of James, it discusses, or the letter or the epistle that James, the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, wrote. He discussed the temptations and trials that confront and attack us from day to day. The temptations and trials that we encounter from day to day must be combated step by step in order for us to conquer them. If we give into the temptation, if we give into the trial, and if we give into the pressure that the enemy brings to us, then these things can enslave us and ultimately destroy us. Because the Bible says that the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Can I get a witness there? Maybe you hadn't had to deal with him, but he's there to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And so they come to hook us up. They come to bind us up into the world and to be able to destroy our will, to destroy our family, our friendships, our relationships, and ultimately our lives. And so we have to know that in order for us to overcome these, in order for us to endure these things, we have to have a special gift, which is called patience. Now, sometimes we talk about patience and people say, well, I'm just patient, I'm waiting. And they're actually saying, I'm just sitting here doing nothing. And that's not the kind of patience that God wants us to have. Amen. When I go, I don't like to go too often now, but when I go, because I ain't a good shopper. So when I go to the mall with my wife, I'd find me a place on the bench and I'll sit. And it appears that I'm patiently waiting for her to finish her 3, 4, 5 hour trip to the mall. It appears that I'm patient because I find me a seat. And sometimes, you know, they have the massage chairs out there. I put some money in there and I sit there and I seem to be patient. But within myself, I'm saying, why don't she hurry? Because I'm ready to go. But I appear to be patient. This is not a real patience. This is an appearance to be patient because you know you must and you have no other choice. Amen. And so God does not want us to get to a place to where we just are sitting around waiting because we have no other choice but to wait. Amen. He wants us to have the kind of faith and the kind of patience that won't allow us to sit back and just take those things, but we have to combat those things. Amen. So getting into the text and getting into the scripture here, we find that James begins to tell us in verse number 7, he says, for us to be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Let's stop there. He said, be patient, for the Lord is coming. Be patient because God is on his way. Amen. And he tells us, James reminds us that we need to be focused on the Lord's coming no matter what we go through. Know that he's coming. And if he's coming, the Bible says, behold, I come quickly and my reward I'm bringing with me. Come on and say amen. And so God wants us to be reminded that when Jesus comes, he comes quickly and he brings his reward, and he's going to reward you for the good and for the bad. He's going to reward you if you've kept the faith, and if you've been faithful, he's going to give you the good. He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and now I want to make you ruler over many. Can I get a witness there? He says that we need to be reminded that our reward is coming from him and that he is on the way. The whole point of this passage is so that we would understand that we must patiently endure what we go through. Not only that, we must patiently endure hardness as a good soldier and go through it because that's part of the job. But not only that, be a good soldier by combating whatever it is we're going through. When we combat those things, we're combating the enslaving power and the discouraging spirit that attempts to defeat us and cause our souls to be in distress. God, this James is telling us that God intends for us to be patient because he's going to come at a certain hour. I wish I had somebody. He's telling us that we need to overcome, by keeping our focus on the Lord. And no matter what comes our way, no matter what the enemy puts in our life, we need to be focused on it's all about him and his coming. I wish I had somebody. We need to understand that we can overcome these things if we keep our focus on him, because we understand that Revelations 12 and 11 says that we overcome by the what? Blood of the Lamb and by the word of his of our own testimony. So we need to be able to testify that his blood covers me. His blood has cured me. His blood has washed away my sin, and so therefore I patiently wait on him to deliver me. Not only should we be focused on that, but we should focus on the Lord by saying that he will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. He will keep us if we can keep our mind on the Lord, if we can keep our mind focused on him. But what happens is the enemy keeps our mind on everything else. The enemy keeps our mind on how bad it is. The enemy keeps our mind on who's not with us. The enemy keeps our mind on how hard it seems for us to be able to make it. The enemy keeps our mind on stuff that seems to be our abilities. And if I can, if I can't, come on and say amen. But what we got to focus on is God's ability. What is God's ability? He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. All he's asking us to do is allow the power to work in us. He's not telling us to be the power. He said, let me be the power and you be the person that I work through. But many of us get it misconstrued. We think that we're supposed to be the force. We're supposed to be the power. God is the force. God is the power. You just be the person that's willing to say, God, it's for you I live and for you I die. I wait on you until the waiting days are over. Do I have anybody here that said today that I'm going to just wait on the Lord? That's why the scripture tells us in Psalms number 27, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He'll strengthen our heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Anybody here understand what that means? That means that no matter what the enemy brings to you, you ought to be able to have enough courage to say, I'm just going to wait. You know, there's a story, there's always a story, amen, of how people say that, you know, that there was a man that was waiting on the Lord, and that he said, I'm not going to move until the Lord sends some, come and get me. And then there came a flood, and he said, the Lord's going to come get me. The Lord sent a helicopter, a man in a boat. He sent people to come and get him, and he said, no, I'm just waiting on the Lord. But what he didn't realize is that the Lord had sent folks his way to help him out. And what he was looking for was God to just appear and snatch him out. Do you know God uses people. God is the power, but God uses people to do work in the earth. Oh, come on and say amen. And so God is expecting us to be usable. Do you want to be usable today? I want the Lord to use me, even in the midst of your trial. Do you know God wants to use you? Oh, yeah, even if the environment and the conditions get bad, do you know that God expects to use you, even when you're going through your trouble? That's why sometimes you say, I can't hardly pray for myself. And you asking me to pray for you? Yes, because God is saying, when you pray for them, I'm already taking care of you. Oh, come on and say amen. You saying, I can't even help myself, and you expect me to help you? God is saying yes, because as you try to help them, God says, I'll give you what you are giving. You can't beat God giving no matter how hard you try. Do I have anybody here? When we look at the word patience here, he says, be patient. The word patient is the word makrothumio. And what it means is to be long-suffering. It means to persevere. It means to be constant, to be steadfast, and to be enduring. And so when he says to be patient, as I said before, it's not a patience that because I got to, ain't got no choice. He's saying that you ought to choose to suffer. You ought to choose to persevere. You ought to choose to be consistent and constant and to be steadfast and enduring no matter what comes your way. You ought to make the choice within yourself, because we can all give up. We can all throw in the towel. We can all stop today. We can all stop and say, you know, I've had enough, and I'm just going to do what I want to do. But he said, make the choice to say that I'm going to endure this thing. In other words, this kind of patience is not an ordinary patience. The world don't have this kind of patience. I wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, I guarantee, if you want to know what the agenda of a person is, you make them wait and see what happens. If they got a certain agenda, if it's all about them, if you make them wait a little while, guess what? They'll show their true colors. Come on and say amen. They'll get mad and angry. I thought you was going to let me in. I thought this was going to be this. And they'll get mad and they'll run out on you. But a person whose agenda is not nothing but the will of God, they'll say, I'm going to wait right here with you. Why you sick? I'm waiting. Why you broke? I'm with you. Come on and say amen. Why people talking about you? I'm still on your side. That's the kind of people that God wants to use. But this word, patience, is a special kind of patience. This kind of patience means it is a spiritual patience that never gives in. It is a spiritual patience that says that even though I suffer, I keep going on and on. And so this kind of patience says that whenever I'm sick, and I get well, then I get sick again, I'm going to keep on keeping on. This kind of patient said, when they talk about me yesterday and I heard them today, and then tomorrow they might have something about me. He said, this kind of patience keep going on and on. This kind of patience that when the enemy comes in to destroy you, and the next day he steal from you, and the next day he try to kill you, come on and say man, this kind of special patience says, I'll just keep right on going and keep right on moving in spite of what the enemy brings into my life. I know how to keep on moving. This kind of patience is not a passive acceptance. See, what we've got mixed up here is what I was saying earlier about me going to the mall. That was a passive acceptance. I may not want to be there, but I'm there because I need to be. Come on and say amen. This kind of patience is not a passive acceptance. It's not just laying back and saying, well, I can't do nothing about it anyway, so I'll just wait and see what it's going to look like. No, that's not the kind of patience that God wants us to have. This spiritual patience is not accepting the trials and tribulation, but this spiritual patience is active. This kind of patience fights. I wish I had somebody. This kind of patience will confront the trials, and not just confront your trials, but conquer your trials. Do I have anybody here that say, I've been there, Pastor. I can identify with what you're saying. I can identify that I haven't been passive, but my patience have been where I've been active. I've shown a fight. I put up a good fight. I fought the good fight of faith. I wish I had a few people here that could say amen to that. I've confronted my trials. I conquered those things that come against me because I knew that my Redeemer lived. Do I have anybody here that say, I have spiritual patience? When you have spiritual patience, you have the kind of patience that that it is written about in the Galatians 5:22, when he says that we are to have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, and then long suffering, which is this type of patience. This type of patience doesn't come by you just knowing stuff. This kind of patience doesn't come just because of who you are kin to. This kind of patience doesn't come because you've been sitting in church. This kind of patience don't come because you read your Bible. This kind of patience does not come just because you know how to pray. But this kind of patience come because of the Holy Ghost, because it is the fruit of the Spirit that this kind of patience come when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on and say amen here. And so when this kind of situation arise, when trials arise, when tribulation arise, the Holy Ghost arouses the urge for you to combat. This kind of thing happens and the Holy Ghost turns around and he stimulates you to want to fight. You ever thought at one point, I just can't take no more, but then all of a sudden you say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I believe I'm going to fight this thing. You ever get to a place where you say, look like I wasn't going to make it, but you know what? I ain't going to take this lying down. I'm not just going to accept what the enemy has dealt me. I'm not just going to take that diagnosis and say, well, I'm going to die. No, I'm going to fight this fight. I wish I had somebody here that say, I'm willing to fight. Something inside of me telling me to go on. Something inside of me telling me to fight on. Oh, come on and say amen. We got to be just like the older people. I heard the voice of Jesus say, oh, come on and say hallelujah, to go ahead and fight this battle. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. And so when I look at this, we got to understand that this kind of patience come from the Holy Ghost. He stirred us up. I'm being stirred by the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I get down, but then the Holy Ghost gets the stirring in my life. He gets the stirring in my heart. He gets to telling me how I can make it, that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. Say amen. Now, we got to get to a place where we understand the Holy Ghost will stir us up. What did Paul tell Timothy? He said, stir up the gift of God that is within you. Who's the gift? We have the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when the gift is stirred, you better watch out, devil. When the gift is stirred, trials, you better watch out. Tribulation, temptation, you better watch yourself, because I'm stirred by the Holy Ghost. Ain't no telling what's going to happen. Come on and say amen. You know how it is. You don't want to get certain people stirred up because you know they just going to go off. You know, they don't get them stirred. Don't tell them that, because they'll get stirred up. That's what you need to be like spiritually when it comes to your trials, when it comes to your tribulation. You need to say, you know what? You just got me stirred up. You done messed up now, Joker, because you got me praying now. You got me fasting now. You got me praising now. You got me lifting up the name of Jesus. You got me with some faith that I didn't have yesterday. But today, I couldn't see my way yesterday. But today, I see something. I see the Lord coming. And because I'm going through, I know that he's going to see about me. Come on and say amen. We need to get stirred up. And when I get stirred, I realize that it's the Holy Ghost that gives me the strength. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. What about that? The Holy Ghost will lift you up. The Holy Ghost will lift up the standard inside of you so that you'll realize that you must be patient and just wait on the Lord. This kind of patience, you got to understand that we have to be able to wait on the Lord. Amen? And he says, therefore, brethren, he said, be patient. That's all I got to. Until the coming of the Lord, behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. I like that. He says, now be patient, not only to be focused on the Lord. He said, but be patient like a farmer. He said, because the farmer plants, but the farmer trusts God that he's going to bring forth the harvest. Oh, come on and say amen. And so he's saying that, look, he said, not only, but before I get down into that, but I want you to know that he is the husbandman. Jesus is the husbandman, and he's waiting on the precious fruit of the earth. He's saying that I have to put some stuff on you in order for you to grow. Sometimes I have to drop some manure, some fertilizer on your life so that you'll grow, because I want you to produce fruit that's meat for the master's use. Oh yeah, and he's patient. He's waiting for you. That's why he lets you go through. And he don't just deliver you right away. He lets you go through it, and he's waiting on you. He don't come today because he's waiting on you. He doesn't come tomorrow because he's waiting on a development to happen in your life. Do I have any witnesses here? But then he says, be patient as a farmer, because when the farmer plants, the farmer waits on God to give him a harvest. He waits for the early rain because he know he can't make it rain. That part is out of his control. But guess what? He might do a rain dance so that he can get some. I wish I had somebody. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to do a rain dance. Lord, my seed has been in the ground, and I'm dancing to you because I know you got power over nature, and you can cause it to rain. He says, like the farmer, he waited on the precious fruit, and he says that he wait until he's received. He has patience until he's received the early rain. And so what does the early rain do? The early rain germinates the seed. It causes the seed to germinate and begin to break out. I wish I had somebody here that understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes you need an early rain in your life because it causes you to break out. Oh, come on. I might break out in some praise in here in a minute. I may break out with a word. Somebody say amen. I may break. Come on and say hallelujah. We got to get to a place where when the rain comes, when God begin to pour out the rain in our life, every day can't be sunshine. We want sunshine on a cloudy day. But guess what? I want the rain to fall when it's supposed to. Because if I get me some rain, then my seed starts to break. Because now I got to be patient. When I see that seed begin to break and I see it begin to germinate, I got to be patient. And then he says, and not only does he wait for the early rain, but then he waits for the latter rain. So what does the latter rain do? The latter rain comes to give to bring the crop to a place that it will become ripe. It comes to not only bring it to a place that it becomes ripe, but it comes to wash away whatever may have attached itself to the crop while it was growing. Some of us get a little dirty sometime while we wait. Come on and say amen. Some of us get some insects on us while we wait. But because of the latter rain, he washes away the dirt. He washes away Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. Do I have any witnesses here? Sometime in your trials, you need to get you some water. What's the water? The washing by the water of the word. In order for the insects to leave you alone, you need to get you some word while you wait. Do I have anybody here to say, I'm going to be like a farmer and I'm going to wait on the Lord? I got my seed in the ground. I know it's not going to be easy for it to come up, but I'm going to sit here and wait on it. Come on and say hallelujah. But when the farmer put the seed in the ground, he waits and he looks with great expectations. He waits and he combats anything that will try to hinder his crop from growing. If it's dry weather, he tries the water. If it's insects, he tried the pesticides so that he can get rid of it. If it's insects or disease or wild weeds or briars, he's there pulling out the thorns and the thistles, trying to get them out of his garden because he knows it can hinder the growth. And so in other words, while I'm waiting, I don't need to be sitting there with my arms crossed just saying I'm waiting on the Lord. No, you need to be in the garden doing some work. You need to be out there pulling weeds out of your life. Oh, come on and say amen. You need to be pulling briars and thorns out of your life. You need to be out there getting rid of the insect, because the insect will bring a famine in the harvest. The insects will eat up the cankerworm, and the locusts will eat up what you are trying to grow. The dry weather will burn it up. And so I need to get some water on this stuff. Do I have any witnesses here that say, I'm going to be like the farmer and I'm going to have patience and wait on the Lord? Am I getting boring to you? Just hold on a few minutes. Amen. He says that be like the farmer. Be patient and wait on your fruit to grow. Wait on the harvest to come. But then in verse 8, he says, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He's telling us here that we need to establish our hearts. And what does that mean? It means to set our hearts on, to fix our hearts on the fact that the coming of the Lord draweth near. Now, we may look around the world today, and you may not realize that we're closer to the coming than we've ever been. Because even right now, everything is already set up for the Antichrist to come on the scene. And the Bible even says, Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, if you read it, understand it, and know, and compare that to to Daniel chapter 12, but he tells us, he says that in the last day there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. Do I have a witness? He said that there are going to be people, it's going to be, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end. What's he saying? There'll be people marrying and giving in marriage. What does that mean? That means there'll be people married and people shacking up. I wish I had somebody. And I'm not talking about just male and female. I'm talking about male and male and female and female. Come on and say amen. But there'll be giving in marriage. And that's what we're doing all across the land in America. We're giving licenses for gays to marriage, same-sex marriage. We're giving all that. And people will be giving in marriage and not being given the way that God said give it. I wish I had somebody. And so we see wars and rumors of wars. We see that in Jerusalem that there are armies that are gathered up around and they're fighting. Come on and say amen. And so he says that when you see all of that going on, he said you need to make sure that you be patient. In other words, you need to wait. You need to establish your heart. Make sure you fix your heart on the coming of the Lord. Amen. But we fix our hearts on other things. We fix our hearts on the new iPhone 6. We fix our hearts on the new next vehicle that we're going to get. We fix our hearts on the cars. Oh, come on and say amen. And the houses. We fix our hearts on people because we just got to have them in our life. We fix our hearts on stuff, on money and things that don't matter. If we build our hopes, let us build it on things eternal. I'm not telling you not to have stuff, but don't let stuff have you. Don't let stuff run your life. But you need to make sure that your focus is on the Lord. You need to keep your eyes on the prize. You need to forget what's behind you and reach forth to what is before you. He says that be patient and establish your heart. That means the innermost part of you need to be about knowing that the Lord is coming. You need to know that the Lord draws near unto us. And so his coming is much more nearer than it was when James wrote this letter. His coming is much more nearer because you see all the perils that are happening in the world. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. That in Paul tells us this in Timothy. He said that men should be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. It's all about me in this world, in this generation now. He said they'll be unholy. And to be unholy means to be the opposite of what God is. Come on and say amen. And so he said there'll be boasters and prideful people. There'll be people that don't have any natural affection. You wonder how people can just kill somebody and have no thought about it. Oh, come on and say amen. You wonder how people can just do people any kind of way, rob them, take all their goods, and then don't have no remorse about it. It's because they have no natural affection. The love of God is not in them. Oh, come on and say amen. And the Bible even says having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They look like they can do good. They look like they can be like God, but they don't have the power to be like God because they won't yield themselves to God. Do I have a witness here? He says, so we need to know that the Lord is on his way. Verse 9 says that grudge not one against another. Brethren, lest you be condemned, behold, the judge standeth before the door. He says, in other words, he's telling us don't hold grudges with one another. He's telling us don't sigh. He's telling us, but don't murmur. Don't grieve and don't groan. And he's telling us all the murmuring and complaining we're doing about each other. He said, you better watch that. He says, you better watch the grudge that you hold against somebody. I know there are people that go to church together. There are people maybe in here today that may have had a grudge against somebody. You murmur and you complain against other folks. You talk about other folks' business, huh? Preach anyway. You gossip because that's what you do. And it ain't nothing wrong with just talking about stuff. No, you're a busybody in other folks' business. Stop your mess because he says not to do those things. I wish I had somebody. You can't think that that's right and know that that's wrong and still do it. We ought to have some accountability to God to know that we are wrong when we hold grudges. We are wrong when we gossip. We are wrong when we spread lies. We are wrong when we do these things. And he said, don't do it against who? One another. Now, he didn't say don't do it against the person in your family. He didn't just say don't do it against the people at your church. He said, don't do it against nobody. Say amen there. He said, don't hold grudges against one another. Don't murmur. Don't complain. He said, because you'll be condemned. You better watch it now. You'll be condemned. He said, don't grudge. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Don't be about that. Because many of us, we complain more than we praise God. Many of us, we complain and we murmur more than we do anything else. We murmur and complain more than we pray. Preach anyway. We murmur and complain. We grumble. All we do is grumble. You say, how you doing? Oh, I ain't doing good because I'm just sick and tired of this. And every time they come over here, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Every time they come over here, they say this, and I'm about to lose my mind. I'm about to go off on somebody. Why are you doing that? You better not lose your mind, because ain't nobody got no more mind to give you. The Bible says with your mind, you ought to serve God. And so if you're going to lose your mind, how you going to serve him?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71.